This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Arrowgate's going to take the far outside route. He's coming up on the outside of Gunavera, but he's a long way behind Gunrunner and Collected as they make their way to the top of the stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're into the stretch, and it's Collected and Gunrunner. They've been battling since the gates opened. Gunrunner's got the lead. Collected West Coast is bearing down on them on the outside. Final 16th. Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collected's alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic over Collected. Then came West Coast, followed by War Story. Arrowgate was coming late, but too late. The final time was 2:01.29.
Larry Colmus with the call of the 2017 running of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Gunrunner joined Triple Crown winner Justify and jockey Joel Rosario as the newest members of Horse Racing's Hall of Fame. But which nominee that didn't get in should we consider to be the biggest snub? Plus, is trainer Phil D'Amato the 2024 version of Chad Brown? And is Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano really going to be watching this year's Kentucky Derby from the jocks room? We'll talk about those topics and much, much more straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business, and all starting just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
1 week away from the run for the Roses, 6 days away from the run for the Lilies. So we'll have plenty of conversation about those races as we make our way through today's show. But guys, I want to begin with what was announced this past week, and that is the Hall of Fame inductions. Triple Crown winner Justify, Gunrunner, and jockey Joel Rosario have been announced as the newest members of the Horse Racing Hall of Fame. But my question to you is, which nominee that didn't get in should we consider to be the biggest snub of this year's class? Tim, what do you think?
You know, everyone that was nominated had the credentials to get in. And it's always sad to me that the ones that don't get in that are deserving. The one that sticks out to me is Kona Gold, the sprinter. For some reason, a lot of the voters just have it in against sprinters. They don't want to put a sprinter in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Kona Gold brought it just about every time he hit the racetrack during his career. You know, 30 starts, 14 wins, and 7 seconds, 26 times he ran triple-digit speed figures, and 17 times he was 110 or more. I think it's just a crime that he's not in. And I think and I'm surprised that the trainer didn't get in too. There were some good guys that were nominated there too.
I believe another year goes by, no trainer gets in, and my snub is going to Graham Motion. I think Graham is well deserving of the Hall of Fame, as most of them are. You all know my theory, put them all in. But Graham's had such a great career, Kentucky Derby, DuPont World Cup. I mean, Breeders' Cups. What do you have to do? He's had a great career. I mean, if you want to compare him or any of the trainers to Todd Fletcher or what Chad Brown's done in the last 15 years, then nobody else will get in except for Chad when he's eligible. It's my snub is going to go to my good friend Graham Motion.
I voted for Graham. I think Graham should be in the Hall of Fame. I agree. And, you know, you look back to horses that he had years and years ago. You have to go back a little further in history, right, if you're really going to analyze a trainer's career. Going back to, Better Talk Now, right? Remember Better Talk Now? Graham has been doing this at a high level for a long time.
Yeah, I'll never forget Better Talk Now because he beat me in the Breeders' Cup turf in Dallas, and there was a 10-minute inquiry, and I still think he should have come down, but yeah, he was a great horse. Look at all the money he earned. And Graham's just had a great career, and he deserves to be in there.
How about Doug O'Neill? What does that guy have to do to get in?
Yeah, what do you got to do? You win two derbies. What do you got to do? I mean, there's no way he shouldn't be in.
And Christophe Clement has got 270-something graded stakes wins. I mean, he's 12th all-time in earnings. I mean, all these guys are right around the same number of, on the list of earnings. And, just about all of the ones that are ahead of them are in the Hall of Fame. The only ones that aren't are Chad and Brad Cox, and they're not eligible. So, yeah, what do these guys have to do to get in? Come on, the voters, you got to wake up a little bit here.
Well, I think you have to be a little more liberal when you're making your selections, right? You have to not be afraid to vote for six or seven of the finalists, and that's how these guys will eventually get in. I thought Kieran was deserving. Who else, Timmy? John Sheriffs, right? John Sheriffs was on
John
the list.
Sheriffs, John Sadler's, Kieran McLaughlin.
Right. I mean, I get this, the Hall of Fame, you can't – Dale says put them all in. It has to be elite and it has to be select. But these guys have some serious credentials. How about the horses? I voted for Game On Dude. I voted for Gio Ponti. I think they should both be in.
And I voted for Rags to Riches. I'll always vote for Rags to Riches because of that Belmont Stakes. I know she had a short career, but she was dominant when she ran. It's not her fault that she got hurt. I would put that one in, too. Maybe the ballot should be – they shouldn't put as many on the ballot. Maybe they shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem. I think having all those trainers and all those – it gets the voters confused or something. They don't vote for enough of them. I agree with you. I think – and probably some of the voters don't realize how many they can vote for.
Well, they should. If they're voting, they should realize that.
They should, but I'm not sure they're educated voters.
Maybe they should limit it, say, okay, you only vote for one trainer. You have to vote for one trainer. You have to vote for a jockey and vote maybe for two horses. Maybe do it that way. I think there's some people that just don't understand how they're voting.
Yeah, I think looking at the way it is currently structured would be a good thing to do. I think if the Hall of Fame committee would sit back and say, okay, are we doing this properly? Are we doing this the right way to make sure we're honoring the people that deserve to be honored? And just listen, just because Timmy and I voted for these individuals to get into the Hall of Fame doesn't necessarily mean they're worthy, but we thought enough of them to vote for them. So, Tim, I don't know. I mean, maybe taking a look at the way this process is being handled would be a good thing to do.
And, Mike, we're smart voters.
Well, I'd like to think so. At least we do some homework, right?
Absolutely.
Nobody researches like Tim Wilkin, which is why, Timmy, I'm going to come to you first later in the program with another question because I know you've done your homework on it. We'll get to that in a minute. But it is the time of the show where we move on and we say hello to our friend Nick Zito, and Dale and Tim get to tell me if the following statement is right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Okay, as of now, last year's Kentucky Derby winning jockey Javier Castellano is without a mount in this year's Derby. Not only did Castellano win the Derby last year, he also took the Belmont and Midsummer Derby, the Travers. I say that leaving Javier Castellano on the sidelines in the Kentucky Derby may be the biggest wrong of the entire year. Guys, am I right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Dale, what do you think?
I don't know if you can call it wrong. It's just the way things fell. But I'll say you're right about he should be riding the Derby. But one thing about that is, it's big news. You're a big shot in this game if you're participating in this news that you're in the Triple Crown. But you're even bigger when it's news that you're not participating in a Triple Crown race. And he's got his win. I'm sure he'd love to be riding. But if he's not riding a major contender, maybe he's better off. But I think you're right. It's a snub.
I'm not going to call it a snub per se. It's just like Dale mentioned, it's just the way the things fell out for Javier this year. Of the 24 prep races that in 2024, in this calendar year, he only had mounts in six of them. And his best shots were with No More Time, who was second in the Tampa Bay Derby. He's off the Derby trail. And also, drumroll please, who won the Jerome, was third in the Remsen last year, and that was for Brad Cox. The only horse that, as of right now, doesn't have a mount, doesn't have a jockey, is the Brad Cox-trained Encino, who won the Lexington. maybe Javier lands there. But, you know, in the last 20 years, there's only been four jockeys that won the Derby that did not get a mount the following year. And if you guys can name them, I'm giving you all the money I got.
No idea. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Four of them. There's four jockeys that won the Derby that didn't have a mount the following year. Since 19.
Well, Marty Jones. What's the kid rode Marty Jones?
Stuart Elliott, that's one.
Victor Espinoza.
No.
Calvin Burrell?
No.
You got me then. I named that one. Oh, Ronnie Franklin.
No, that's not in the last 20 years.
Oh, the last 20 years.
Kent
DeSoto. I don't know that.
No, well, Sonny Leone, who rode Rich Strike, that was his only Derby mount. He didn't get another one the next year. Flavien Prat, after he won with Country House in the DQ, didn't ride in 2020. And Mario Gutierrez, who won I'll Have Another in 2012 for Doug O'Neill, didn't ride in 2013. I mean, all of his mounts were for Doug O'Neill and Redham Racing in the Derby. So I think that's all of them. But, you know, it doesn't happen every year, obviously. But Javier is at the point of his career, you'd think that someone would want to have Javier on their horse's back.
Dale, I'll be curious to get your thoughts on this angle. I am big on trainers sticking with the jockey that got them there. And so often we see trainers get to the Kentucky Derby and they go for the bigger name on line two, right? Honor Marie, going to be ridden by Ben Curtis. Kudos to Whip Beckman for sticking with Ben Curtis. Not that this is taking nothing away from these jockeys. Wayne Lucas sticking with Keith Asmussen. Jesus Castanon riding West Saratoga for Larry Demerit. Kudos to those trainers for sticking with the one that got you there. Dale, do you agree?
I agree. I like sticking with a jock. I like for a jock to know that he's not getting fired and go out and ride with confidence. If you're doing good, stick with him. It's all about the horse anyway. I mean, there's very few jockeys that make a huge difference. There's a few out there. But give all the guys you just mentioned the right horse and they'll ride a good race.
Yep.
But is there something to it, Dale, where you're riding in the Kentucky Derby, the biggest horse race on the planet, 20-horse field? Do you want someone with more experience that's done it?
I don't know about experience. You want a talented jockey. And all the guys you just named that didn't ride back the next year, I mean, they didn't have a lot of experience, and they rode very well, and they all won the Derby.
That's true.
Yep. It's all about the horse. We'll see which horse can cross the finish line first next Saturday. We'll also hear from trainer Nick Zito for Right or Wrong on next Saturday's edition of I Ask, They Answer. Moving on, let's talk about trainer Phil D'Amato. He is quickly closing in on 1,000 career winners, and he's preparing to saddle his first starter in the Kentucky Derby with Santa Anita Derby winner Stronghold. This week, Bloodhorse published an article with the headline reading, D'Amato Shaking the Turf Trainer Label with Stronghold. So I'll ask you guys, and Dale, I'll come to you first. Is Phil D'Amato the 2024 version of Chad Brown before he broke through with cloud computing in the 2017 Preakness, and people were saying Chad Brown was just a turf trainer?
I don't know about these labels. I mean, Bill Mott was labeled for years as a turf trainer when he went to New York, but you forget he was all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs back when they didn't even have a turf course. I think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I didn't know Phil D'Amato was labeled a turf trainer, so hopefully he runs good. I think if you can train a horse on the turf, you can train him on the dirt. But if you want a bunch of turf races, people start sending you turf horses.
I'm not sure it's fair to compare Phil D'Amato to Chad Brown. You know, Chad is, he's in his 17th year of training, and you know, when he won the Preakness with cloud computing, it was 13-1. Then he won another Preakness in 2022 with early voting. I mean, Stronghold's going to be a price, obviously, on next Saturday. And as far as being labeled as a turf trainer, yeah, Chad has had plenty of success on the turf. Of his 450-odd graded stakes winners, I think 350 of them have been on the grass. Phil has had I think 93 graded stakes winners on grass. Of his 93 of his 123 graded stakes winners have been on the grass. But you know, he doesn't get it. It's the same aura of turf trainer doesn't come off the lips when you mention it, Phil D'Amato, and comparing him to Chad Brown. Chad is you know, at his young age, he's turning into one of the all-time greats on the grass, but he's also shown that he can train horses on the dirt too. So I don't know if it's fair to say that, you know, Phil D'Amato is, you know, following that same trajectory, if you will, as Chad Brown. But I wish him both luck next week.
He won't have to worry about any labels if Stronghold can win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. And he probably shouldn't worry about it anyways. But Phil D'Amato has had a lot of success with turf runners, but he can train a good dirt horse too, and he's proving that with Stronghold coming into this year's Run for the Roses. Two more topics. These are both submitted by our listeners. Every week we ask listeners if they have a topic they want each of you to weigh in on, or if they want you to debate something, they can email it, mike@horseracingradio.net, or they can share it on our social media pages. Bill in Toronto, Canada, says he's a longtime listener but a first-time emailer, and he has this question for you guys. He was watching a race at Parks where a horse needed a shoe repair right at post time. He says there was a 10 to 15-minute wait as the rest of the horses had been on the track circling while a 21-to-1 shot was getting a shoe repair. And he wants to know, what is your take on this situation? Should there be a time restriction or an automatic scratch in these instances? Dale, what do you think?
It happens more than you realize it does. And it seems like a horse figures out a way to twist the shoe, either walking over or on the rubber surface inside most of the saddling areas that they have now. No, I think you got to do it. It's a safety issue, and I don't care what the horse's odds are. They have a chance. Somebody owns them. Somebody's worked hard on them to get them to that race. Give them the time, get the shoe fixed if possible. Now, if the horse is refusing to let the blacksmith fix it, then there's at some point you got to scratch them. But I think there's too much work goes into these horses getting them over for something that is out of everyone else's control to get them scratched.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on that, but it's also, if it's going to be a 10 to 20 minute ordeal, I mean, you got to be, the horses that are already on the track, it's not fair to them that they got to wait. I think that there should be a time limit for something like this. Yeah, I want to see every horse have a chance to run, but if it gets to a point where the delay is really starting to add up, I think you got to scratch them.
But that must be, I've never seen one when they're actually on the racetrack. I've only seen them in the paddock, and that's a very rare event. Most of the time it happens in the paddock and the riders aren't even down yet. And it's fixed, and there's a delay getting the post parade started. So that's got to be very rare that the horses are on the racetrack when they're fixing the shoe.
Yeah, and I did not see this race in this incident. So as Bill describes it, the other horses were on the track circling. I would imagine, Dale, isn't there a rule where every horse has to carry the assigned weight for the same amount of time? So I would imagine that the jockeys were probably off their mounts at that point, but I don't know for sure. That's still a rule, right?
Yeah, it is a rule, and I don't know. I mean, people might realize there's a blacksmith that's paid by the racetrack that does nothing but sit in the paddock and check shoes, make sure everybody has legal shoes on when they walk past, and fixes a horse if they twist a shoe. But I'd say that's almost a daily occurrence. This, whatever happened at Parks, is out of the norm.
Bill, we appreciate that question, and if you have a question for Dale and Tim, again, you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, or hit us up on our social media pages, and we'll get that worked into the program going forward. One more, and it comes from Shane in North Carolina, who sends in an email, and this one's kind of cool. He wants to know if you guys collect any special horse racing memorabilia, and if so, what are some of your favorites? Tim, take it first.
Memorabilia, my goodness. I mean, from a media standpoint, you're not supposed to even take anything, right? I have programs that I've saved over the years from, you know, Triple Crown races, Breeders' Cup races, Travers, big races at Saratoga. I save all my credentials that I've been to each racetrack. I guess that would be sort of memorabilia. But it's not like I'm going to go up to John Velasquez and ask him for a pair of goggles or, you know, Mike Smith for a whip. I think I've told you guys this story before, that my mom was up in Saratoga for the Hopeful in 1940 when Whirlaway ran, and they gave her the Whirlaway's blanket.
What?
And, the groom, she was right by the winner's circle, and she was there with some friends, and they threw her the blanket. Back then, they didn't have the names on the blanket, but it was Whirlaway's blanket. And my mother brought it home and gave it to her brother-in-law, Uncle Red, who was a big horse player, and he thought it was bad luck to have that, so he burned it.
He burned it?
He burned it, yep.
Goodness.
It's a story in our history books of the Wilkin family.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I've got some memorabilia. I like some of that old stuff. I actually went to an estate sale last week and bought a few things. I bought a 1982 Ellis Park program that had my father down as a living trainer. I've got Walter Blum gave me an old trophy from the 50s on a race that he had won that I think is pretty cool. I've got, I'd say my favorites are, I've got the old style win ticket from Affirmed and Aladar, both from 1978 that I actually purchased myself when I was 12 years old or something. I bet $2 a piece on them and I kept them and kept those. But yeah, there's some stuff out there, and I've got some old saddle towels and different things like you're talking about. I actually have a Calder saddle towel that I got a couple years ago. I saw person galloping in it, and the trainer gave me the saddle towel so I could keep, because Calder's now defunct, and I like that racetrack. So I like some memorabilia. Another day at the estate sale, I bought some things nobody else would care about, old condition books from Hialeah and Churchill and Arlington Park, I think, that it just showed the races and the weights and stuff like that. But I like odd memorabilia, stuff probably nobody else would care about.
I want to get a Dale Roman saddle cloth this summer.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. There you go. I once played in a charity golf tournament, and my partner on our team was Chop Chop, Jorge Chavez, and he signed a golf ball for me. So that's one of the things I still have in my collection. And, Tim, I'm like you with the credentials. I've saved all of our credentials, all of my credentials and Michelle's credentials from when we broadcast American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown, mm-hmm. Our first ever national radio broadcast. I have those credentials. And I'll go back and try to get them signed. For example, American Pharoah with Victor Espinoza and Bob Baffert. I'll go back and try to get those credentials signed as kind of a nice keepsake.
Yeah, yeah. And I have tickets from – I have win tickets from Pharoah's Triple Crown races, you know, $2 win tickets, plus his Haskell,
yep,
Travers, and Breeders' Cup. They're still sitting in an envelope. I got to get them framed. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's – but, you know, I'm not going to go ask someone for something. I mean, from – I mean, I'm not going to ask someone for a piece of equipment. Although I will ask Dale.
I'll get you something.
All right.
Great question, Shane. Keep them coming. Again, you can email the show. You can hit us up on social media with your questions or topics for Dale and Tim. They love, love, love when they get a chance to hear from our listeners, and we'll continue to work those in the weeks ahead. Few minutes left here in the show. That brings us to our final segment. It is our West Point of the Week. It is presented by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. And remember that owning a racehorse with West Point Thoroughbreds is a lifestyle investment for your entire family. It's a smart, fun way for new owners to enjoy being an instant insider and access to the major leagues of horse racing for a fraction of the cost of doing it alone. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Tim, what is your West Point of the Week?
I'm going to be very interested to see how opening night at Churchill Downs goes tonight, not only because of the racing, but they're having the draw for the Derby and the Oaks, which is a good idea to have it on the Saturday before. It gives people a lot of time to handicap. But I'm wondering how it's going to go over when they do it between the third and the fourth races. I'm not convinced that it's going to be able to it's a big deal, but I'm not sure it's going to be able to dwarf opening night. I hope it does, but I'm not sure if it will.
Yeah, I hope it goes well for him. Hope we have a big opening night tonight. My point of the week is, we talked about Rich Strike last week, and I told you I'd have an update. So I talked to his connections over at Keeneland the other day. Rich Strike is on a farm in Lexington, still getting some therapy, jogging a little bit, and it's going to plan to come back to racing if he can get 100% healthy, and only if he can get 100% healthy. And in that question last week, that's where Rich Strike is.
Fantastic. See, they love Breaking answering news. Your questions. Keep them coming. They love it. All right, guys, yep. We're going to do this all over again next week. Appreciate the visit. Enjoy the weekend. And next week, a big Kentucky Derby weekend show. Should be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it.
All right. If you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim discuss, you know what to do. I've been talking about it throughout the show. Send it to us and we'll get it in there. I Ask, They Answer is presented every week by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.